Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Everybody, and welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. We're so excited to have you with us this evening, as we do every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now, if you will, join us in devotion. We'll have Dr. James Nook sing a song. I'll read the scripture, and Mr. Eric Barnett Jefferson will read, will say the prayer.
Amen. Look, it is well with my soul. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrow's last sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well. My soul, it is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul.
Amen.
Amen. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation, Luke, the 4th chapter, the 1st through the 2nd verse. And it reads, "Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River. He was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. Jesus ate nothing all that time and became very hungry."
Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we, the humble servants, take time out to come to prepare to study your word this Tuesday evening. We thank you most of all for your Son, Jesus Christ, Father, who gave his life on Calvary's cross, who gives us the opportunity to come before your throne of mercy this day. We ask that you will prepare our hearts and our minds to receive this study, Father, that we may not be the same persons who got online or on the blog, Father, that your word may change us to be what you called us to be your representative here in this world. For Christ came and died, but he was raised with all power. And he said that he would leave us the comfort, that he would send the Holy Spirit to guide and direct us in all things. And Father, I believe that most of all what you want from your children is to be a mirror reflection of your unfailing love. For we know that you are God alone, and you need no one and nothing else, but yet you loved mankind enough to give your Son as a sacrifice and to accept that sacrifice, that we may not have to be separated from you. And Father, we don't take that lightly. And so as we prepare to study, I ask that you would bless each and every one that participates and each and every one that hears, that we may have spiritual eyes to see thy work in thy word, and spiritual ears to hear you speak to us through thy word, and the spiritual knowledge and understanding to put it into practice in our lives, that we may serve you in righteousness and truth, and that we may let this world know that there is a God who sits high and looks low, and we are your representatives here on earth. Guide and direct us. Open our hearts, our minds, and our souls, that we may be attuned to each other in this study. It's in your Son, Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. As I said, we're so grateful to have you here with us today. As we are dealing with the theme, the wilderness journey, that's our lesson for the month of April. And we will be having a doctor, excuse me, I call him the doctor, minister, and everything else. Minister.
They don't say it, just
Barnett.
Don't call me late to dinner.
Listen, Brother Eric is giving us a lesson this week, but we've been talking about some very, very, very exciting information. The first week in April, we talked about how and why do we end up in the wilderness, and the week after that, we talked about how you should act in the wilderness, and this evening, this evening, how should we act in the wilderness? So, with that in mind, and as we are prepared to move forward in our wilderness journey that we don't want to stay in very long.
Amen, sister. Amen.
Brother Eric, are you ready to take us on? We're ready to go.
Thank you, Dr. Susie. Thank you, Dr. Nutz, for leading devotion. I am glad to be here with you today. I'll share with everyone that I'm actually in Ohio now. We've had to bury an aunt that was more like a sister-in-law to me, services and over the last 2 days. And I look forward to this evening because there is strength in God's word and there is strength in the community of believers that I've been a part of for years. And so I thank each and every one of you for your prayers and your thoughts. Just glad to be with you. So we talked about the wilderness journey. We, Dr. Sue has given us a great recap the first week. On the 7th, we talked about how and why do we end up in the wilderness. And we looked at sometimes we are sent, sometimes God does it to prepare us, or God is looking out for us as he did for the children of Israel. He could have sent them directly to the promised land, which would have been an 11-day journey, but it ended up being 40 years. But originally it wasn't designed to be 40 years because God said that he was going to take them through the wilderness so that they didn't get scared because someone would approach them about war. So he didn't want to take them through the part of the country that would have made a short journey. So he took them through the wilderness to get them ready for what they were going to inherit. And so sometimes God sends us through the wilderness for our own good, whether we want to believe that or not. But God also knows that he's able to prepare a way for us in the wilderness. We also looked at on the 14th what can happen to you in the wilderness, and we were surprised by the things that happened and how God was able to provide for folk. So tonight we're going to look at how should we act in the wilderness, and that is very, very important. And so before we get into the meat of the lesson, I'd like to do a roll call for this evening. I know I've got Dr. Susie, the Nooks,
Mark Bryant.
Mark Bryant. Good evening, Mark.
Good evening.
Go ahead. Dr. Listman.
Hello?
Yes, who else is with us?
Rich here.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you all. So how should we act in the wilderness? Now, this may sound like a rhetorical question, but I have come to understand that how we act in the wilderness can be a direct correlation on how long you end up in the wilderness. And so let's explore that and see some biblical scripture about how we should act and why we don't act the way that we act, and what are the consequences of that. So someone could read Exodus 14. These are the scriptures we're going to be looking at tonight. Exodus 14, 10 through 13. Exodus 14,
I have
10.
It.
Okay, can someone get Exodus. Numbers 14? Yeah, Exodus 14, 10 through 13. Can someone be prepared to read Numbers 14, 26 through 45? I want to look at through 45. Originally, we were going to look at 30, but after reading it, Let's go through 45, Numbers 14, 26 through 30, through 45.
Yeah,
I have that, yes.
Okay, well, let's start with those two, and then we'll go on the other ones a little later. So let's read the Exodus 14, 10 through 13.
Exodus 14, 10 through 13. As Pharaoh approached, the people of Israel looked up and panicked when they saw the Egyptians overtaking them. They cried out to the Lord, and they said to Moses, "Why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt? Didn't we tell you this would happen while we were still in Egypt? We said, leave us alone. Let us be slaves to the Egyptians. It's better to be a slave in Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness." But Moses said to the people, "Don't be afraid. Just stand and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again." That's the 10th through the 13th verses in the NIV translation, New Living Translation.
Amen. So we let me set the stage for that scripture. So we've seen God do all the miraculous miracles in Egypt, where his folks have been slaves for 430 years. And they've been crying for a deliverer. "Oh, we need deliverer. We don't want to do this. We don't want to be here." And so God has done all these miracles, the hail and the gants and the flies and the frogs. And finally God kills the firstborn son of the Egyptians and their animals. And so the people leave Egypt as a triumphant band of folks and Dr. Nooks helped me with what we really believe is over millions of people at this point, correct?
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. So now they are at the Red Sea, and they are beginning to complain about this wilderness journey.
My Lord.
And why? Why do you think they would complain? Why would we complain about that?
Well, they see the obstacle before them, and they don't understand, and they were comfortable in being slaves, I guess. I guess they preferred that to the unknown, and they didn't see how they were going to be delivered. So they didn't really have faith in God that had bought them out of Egypt. It's like they forgot everything that God had done, and I guess they didn't understand the power of God and limited God's abilities. And so they preferred their comfort zone as opposed to what God had for them in the way of deliverance.
Amen. And you make an interesting point, Dr. Nooks, is that they look at the obstacle before them but couldn't remember all the past glory that God had shown them.
Amen.
Now that's the real deal question. Why do we do that? Why can we not remember all the stuff that God has brought us to when we get to the next obstacle? The same God caused darkness to be in the land of Egypt, but daylight in the land of Goshen where the Israelites were. Isn't that correct?
Amen.
The scripture tells us that. So what makes them think, Mark, for 1 minute, that he can't do whatever he needs to do to move them forward, and yet they complain? Any thoughts on that, Mark?
You know, and I'm thinking, you know, and I wish I could come up with a decent answer. But I don't know if
there really is no answer, right?
Yeah, you know, I don't know if it's just our human nature to forget so quickly after we've been blessed so many times, Or is it just that, you know, we're, you know, even in this time, you know, we are the, we got to have it now. We, you know, it's what have you done for me now versus what's, you know, what's happened, you know, all throughout your life. And, or is it just fear, like Dr. Nooks was speaking of, was the fear of the unknown and the comfort level of slavery. You know, even as Africans, you know, who came over on boats and enslaved, many of us were still comfortable after emancipation to be in slavery versus to have our freedom, and I don't understand that either.
Well, this is Greg Lissman, and what I feel that it was not only fear, but it was the anxieties of unbelief, of unbelief being a not believing God for what he is able to do, especially when you are facing the Red Seas or facing the desert or whatever the circumstances may be that is prevailing you at the moment. You don't think about, you don't have time to think about it when you're frustrated and you're overcome with, overwhelmed with anxiety and unbelief.
Amen. And unbelief is an actual part of that. But here it said that they panicked and then turned on Moses saying, why did you bring us out here? You could have left us where we were, where we could have died and not been a part of this. Now, these are the same folks who have been praying for years for deliverance.
My Lord.
They've been praying for years for a deliverer to get them out of the situation that they're in, and now God is doing that. And he's doing it in a miraculous fashion. I mean, he's leaving no doubt to it that everything Moses tells you, I'm going to do. And so Moses then says, go ahead.
So, Brother Erica, this is Dr. Susie. Are you saying that when we look at the razor's edge, meaning that we figure out how to apply the text to where we are today, that we as people call on God to deliver us for stuff, and we call on, and when we get delivered, we start murmuring? Is that what you're trying to say?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah, I would agree.
That's exactly what I'm saying, Dr. Susan. That's
Amen. Exactly
what we do. That's exactly
Amen.
What we do. We do that because we are, or because it's not coming the way that we think that it should come, because we don't understand that he's doing it for our good. However it works out, God is doing it for our good. And because we can't understand it or we can't see it, we murmur. And murmuring in a wilderness journey is not a good deal. Because it can cause you to end up in the wilderness a whole lot longer than was anticipated end up in the wilderness.
This is Greg Lissman.
Go ahead.
This is Greg Lissman. What I'm more inclined to say or think is that what we look for is for things to be done the way we want them done, and when they're not done, if we're not delivered the way we feel that we should be, then we complain. Because God, we don't want to be led by anyone. And so based on the feelings of anxieties and frustrations and the human side, and based upon our unbelief, so if we believe, then we will freely follow the direction of the Holy Spirit. But because of unbelief, we feel that things should go our way, the way we, when we are ready to move and at our, the way that we want to go. And so when things don't happen the way that we think they should, then we complain about, we find ourselves frustrated, and so we are being delivered from danger. We are being, you know, we are being brought out, and all the while we are kicking and screaming and dragging our feet because of fear. Maybe it is a part of it is the comfort zone, but it's based upon unbelief and fear and all the things that God says that those who become this way will not inherit the kingdom of God. And that's
but listen, I hear what you're saying. This is Dr. Susie. I agree with you wholeheartedly. I believe that as well, but I don't know about y'all, but I have had some people in my churches that no matter what you do, they're going to complain. It won't matter.
Yeah, if they're not in charge, right.
Listen,
they're
going to complain.
But here's the question. That's absolutely right, Dr. Susan, but here's the question. And Dr. Listman hit on it. But how can you have an unbelief in a God who created everything and created you? I mean, God created mankind, breathed the breath of life into him, according to Scripture, correct? Made everything, called it out, called it into being. And yet we cannot have faith enough to trust that God who created everything, created us, according to Psalms 139, knows us better than we know ourselves. And yet we're going to have unbelief and anxiety when the Lord is moving on our behalf. Because in my perspective, and this is Eric's perspective, is because we're not in control of it. I don't need to be in control of it if it's working for my good. I shouldn't need to be in control of it. I should be able to walk in it.
Another thing is, too, when you look at faith itself, not just the salvation that God is able to give us, but the faith that we have is not our own. It's given as a gift of God to us.
Amen. So we ought to be able to receive that, accept it, and walk in that. If we are true children of God, if we are the true children of God, we should be able to accept that and walk in that.
Yeah,
this
is James.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, James.
Going to say that this is the dilemma that we have as people. And Pastor Lipscomb, I think, was getting to a lot of it. We have these bodies. We have this flesh. And we get saved in the Spirit of God. It dwells in us. But we still have this flesh. And we still have this mind that is, we have like Alzheimer's. I mean, we forget. I have a patient that asks me who I am every 5 minutes. And it's like we need to ask, like we're asking God, well, who are you, every 5 minutes. Even though God does miraculous things in our lives, we keep saying, who are you, God? Where are you? Why don't you work in my life the way I want you to work? Why don't you give me what I want you to give me? And God is saying, well, I'm giving you all this. I've given you life. I've given you my presence. I'm with you always. And here you are, you wanting a filet mignon, and I've given you, you know, a center cut steak. But we wrestle with this. I mean, it's a constant fight. Instead of yielding to the Spirit, it seems like we just fight it. I mean, and it seems like the more gifted we are sometimes by God, the harder we fight. It's like you have to be broken in order to submit to the will of God. And even when we get broken, then a week later, we're right back fighting again.
Yeah, and then we complain about being broken.
Yeah.
And then we
complain
about being broken.
Yeah, so I mean, that's why we need to be constantly on our knees. We need to be constantly seeking God's presence. We need to be helping each other out. We need to be studying God's word. We need to be prayed up. Because we're going to have these battles every day, all day long, And in order to really have faith in God, and faith is a gift, we need to be seeking God, and that's a hard thing for us to do. I mean, and I think the stronger you get in faith, the more inclined you are toward God. But when you're kind of weak in the faith, it's easy to lean toward the, well, let's figure this out. Even though God has given you the roadmap, well, let's figure it out. No, that's not the way God wants you to go. This is the way God, well, we're going to figure it out and do it our way. And then you mess up and fail, and then you call on God and God delivers you, and then you go right back to saying, let's figure it out our way. It's a, I'm sure God gets frustrated with us.
Brother Eric, even when he was talking about how God, you know, has given us a map and we keep trying to figure it out, you know, sometimes I think, Brother Nook, it's not so much that we're trying to go a totally different way, but we haven't taken the time to prepare our hearts and minds so we can see with spiritual eyes and read the map with spiritual eyes. We're trying to read the map with the worldly eyes. And we can't interpret what God has given us because we haven't done due diligence to be able to see the map clearly. And in order to do that, we got to do, and I'm speaking on behalf of new believers or people who have not had years and years of walk with the Lord. You need to continually renew your mind, reflect on what's happening in your life, take it back to the Lord in prayer, and read God's word to replace and to replenish and to renew, so that you can continue to read the map and walk the path that God has for you.
This is
Mark, excellent advice.
I agree with Dr. Susie. Is that we, you know, we have to almost retrain our minds because we lean too much, you know, to our own stupidity, we shouldn't lean to our own understanding. And you know, if we did retrain our minds to allow God in our hearts and to program us with His faith and receive His mercies and His blessings each day that He gives us, that we could then look at our lives and accept the grace and mercy that He has for us each day and look beyond our circumstances and see that God has a plan for us that we may not see, but He has for us for His will.
Amen. And the scripture that supports that is Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend upon your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will direct your path.
Amen.
So that conversation leads me into what happens when you don't have the right attitude when you're walking the wilderness journey. And I'd like, Dr. Nooks, I think you had Numbers 14, 26 through 45, please.
Yes. This is the New Living Translation. Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, how long must I put up with this wicked community and its complaints about me? Yes, I have heard the complaints the Israelites are making against me. Now tell them this, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very things I heard you say. You will all drop dead in this wilderness because you complained against me. Every one of you who is 20 years old or older and was included in the registration will die. You will not enter and occupy the land I swore to give you. The only exceptions will be Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, son of Nun. You said your children would be carried off as plunder. Well, I will bring them safely into the land, and they will enjoy what you have despised. But as for you, you will drop dead in this wilderness, as your children will be like shepherds wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. In this way, they will pay for your faithlessness until the last of you dies, the last of you lies dead in the wilderness. Because your men explored the land for 40 days, you must wander in the wilderness for 40 years, a year for each day, suffering the consequences of your sins. Then you will discover what it is like to have me for an enemy. Lord, have mercy. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will certainly do these things to every member of the community who has conspired against me. They will be destroyed here in this wilderness, and here they will die. The 10 men Moses had sent to explore the land, the ones who incited rebellion against the Lord with their bad report, were struck dead with a plague before the Lord. Of the 12 who had explored the land, only Joshua and Caleb remained alive. When Moses reported the Lord's words to all the Israelites, the people were filled with grief. Then they got up early the next morning and went to the top of the range of hills. "Let's go," they said. "We realize that we have sinned, but now we are ready to enter the land of the Lord, the land the Lord has promised us." But Moses said, "Why are you now disobeying the Lord's orders to return to the wilderness? It won't work. Do not go up into the land now. You will only be crushed by your enemies because the Lord is not with you. Lord, have mercy. When you face the Amalekites and Canaanites in battle, you will be slaughtered. The Lord will abandon you because you have abandoned the Lord." But the people defiantly pushed ahead toward the hill country, even though neither Moses nor the Ark of the Lord's covenant left the camp. Then the Amalekites and the Canaanites who lived in the hills came down and attacked them and chased them back as far as Hormah. Amen.
So what caught you in all that, Dr. Nooks?
Lord have mercy.
Where do we start, right?
I don't want to have the Lord for an enemy. Lord,
amen,
brother.
Hey, that's exactly where the
amen.
Brother,
amen.
Eric,
Lord,
I was sitting here going, I was scared it says, you will discover what it's like. Lord Jesus, please, oh, please.
Amen. And
ooh,
I'll find
please,
something
please,
else
please.
Interesting. Absolutely. I don't want the Lord's name, but I'll find something else interesting. That the very words that they spoke, God
yes.
said, okay, I'm going to do that. You always talk about what I can do and what I can't do. The words that you spoke, I'm going to do that against you.
My Lord.
Which means that if he can take my words and do that, he can surely take his words and do whatever he said he's going to do. And they had this mindset that they were not going to follow, pay attention, or do what the Lord was instructing them to do in the wilderness so that he could provide for them and take care of them and get them to where he promised to get them. And they were just as contrary as they could possibly be. And even though they told them, don't go, they go.
It also illustrates how important your words are, because many people don't realize
Amen.
Your words can be your own demise.
Hallelujah.
Amen. It's interesting that Moses was God's person. Moses spoke for God. And this is the same kind of response that we sometimes get from churches. When somebody speaks for the Lord, it's like people say, you're not speaking for God.
Yeah.
I'm going to do what I want to do, you know.
Dr. Nooks, yes. I even have people that question, well, if God can speak to you, God can speak to me. You know, as if that the Lord doesn't have a designated person to give leadership. As if everybody, and everybody can't do the same task. God assigns and gives us different roles to play. And anybody who tried to usurp Moses' role, I mean, look at his sister. She got in trouble. As much as God
Amen.
Loved her. But she became
his
leprous.
Sister, her sister
and we
and
gotta
and
understand.
And Aaron.
Yeah.
And Aaron.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's absolutely amazing to me that he takes their word and say, okay, that's what's going to happen. You who have complained and murmured against me are going to die here in this wilderness.
My Lord.
You're going to die here in this wilderness, you that are over the age of 20 and who were in the first registration, because they had seen all the mighty works that God had done. I mean, let's just, and I don't need to chronologize, but got water from a rock. You get manna from heaven, food you didn't even know about, the angels' food. You get brought out of Egypt with taking plunder from folks that you didn't even fight a battle over. You remember the story? It said, go ask the Egyptians for gold and silver and all that stuff, and they're going to give it to you. You're going to walk out of there like an army that has just plundered folks. So you go
yep.
out with abundance. Everything that God has done to get you out of there, and now you complaining about what?
Well, you know what? No, this is Greg Lissman. When I think about that, you have to look at what made the Israelites in the people of God and what makes us in the people of God. And you know, there's a great difference. In that time and period, what made Israel in the people of God is the fact that they were the of the circumcision. So therefore, they were, because of the circumcision, they were in the people of God, and those who were not in the circumcision were all alien from God. So now the difference is, you know, God has not changed. The Holy Spirit has not changed. God the Son has not changed. They all work in perfect harmony together, and they are equal to one another. So now here we are in this time and period. We see that we who are who God has chosen of the circumcision, and those who are the Gentiles who are not of the circumcision. Now he's done a new thing. He's put us all in a different group, and now we are filled with his Holy Ghost or his Holy Spirit, and we're being led supposedly by the Holy Spirit. But he lets us make a free will choice to be led by his Holy Spirit. So what is our excuse? That's my question. Those of the circumcision, the Holy Spirit was not in them, but they were being influenced by it. But now the Holy Spirit is in us. So what is our excuse?
This is Eric. I hear you, and I would say that the circumcision had the presence of God that they could see. They could see the cloud and the pillar. They could see the smoke from the mountain as Moses descended and went up to the mountain. The presence of God was there leading them by their hand. Us, the Holy Spirit is in us, but it's the same thing for both of us. It's our disobedience in the sinful nature of ourselves, that we are just hard, as my granddad said, hard-headed, carries us soft behind. And those wasn't exactly his words, but I'll keep it clean tonight. And that's it. It's the sinful nature in us to be rebellious and to be prideful. And the scripture tells us that pride is a greater sin as anything else.
Amen.
And that's what happens to us, because all God has ever really asked of the children of Israel and the folks who are children today is to trust and believe and know that I am going to take care of you. I am going to lead you. I'm going to direct you in all areas of your existence.
Amen.
Let go and let God. That's all he's ever wanted from any of us who say that we are his children. And there are times when he's going to require a test of you to see that. And let me read this a little bit, and then I really want to go into Psalm 78, verses 17 through 72. But let me read this. After the Israelites miraculously crossed the Red Sea, they were led into the desert. How strange that God would lead them from a place of revelation and power to a place of disappointment and dire need. But God wanted to show them that life is a combination of bitter and sweet, triumph and defeat. When the Israelites arrived at Marah, they complained because the water was bitter. After Moses interceded, God reminded them to keep his commandment. Then he brought them to the abundance and refreshment of Elim. The Lord wanted to teach them that each experience of their journey would reveal their heart. This test showed that they were living by sight and not by faith.
Amen.
So, brother, listen, it's our own selfishness and sinfulness and pridefulness, from my perspective.
This is James. Yeah, this is James, and I made reference to the fact that we have a war going on inside of us, and Paul refers to that we, when I would do good, evil is always present. And I think it's good that Paul understood that, and I think it would be good if we could understand that there is a war going on inside of us.
Amen.
And if we realize that, then maybe we'll ask God for help. Because if we yield to our flesh, we're going to do the wrong thing every time. And in that war, I think a lot of times that's what we're doing. And I think that's what we're doing a lot of times in our churches, in our decision making. We don't even take time to ask God what to do, but instead we rely upon our own intelligence, and Mark said our own ignorance. And I think Mark is right.
absolutely.
That if we would realize this war that's going on, but Satan has deceived us so much into believing that there's not a war, and that we are being logical and doing the right thing and using our own mind and our own understanding, and just like Proverbs said, yield not to your own understanding, but we keep believing that there's no war going on here, and so not believing that we are really under attack, we don't ask God for help as we should, or we don't then say, hey, maybe I need to ask God about this instead of going ahead and making this decision. It seems like the right thing to do, but maybe that's not really what God wants us to do. So I think it's sometimes good that we admit, God, there's a war going on inside of me. I'm not holier than thou. I am not close to you as I should be, but there's a war going on inside of me, and I need your help. And I think God honors our honesty when we do that.
Amen. Can I get someone to read Psalm 78, 7, starting at 17? I want to read through the rest of it. We may not have, let's read that quickly and then have a little bit of discussion. Because what I want to show is that the direct correlation of one's attitude in the wilderness determines what you end up going through while you're in the wilderness. Psalm 78, starting at verse 17, and we'll read through the end of it, which is 72. And you have the New Living Translation?
Yeah, I have it.
I have it.
Go ahead.
Either one of you.
You got it, James? Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Go ahead, James. I guess.
Yet they kept on sinning against him, rebelling against the Most High in the desert. They stubbornly tested God in their hearts, demanding the foods they crave. They even spoke against God himself, saying, God can't give us food in the wilderness. Yet he can strike a rock so water gushes out, but he can't give his people bread and meat. When the Lord heard them, he was furious. The fire of his wrath burned against Jacob. Yes, his anger rose against Israel, for they did not believe God or trust him to care for them. But he commanded the skies to open. He opened the doors of heaven. He rained down manna for them to eat. He gave them bread from heaven. They ate the food of angels. God gave them all they could hold. He released the east wind in the heavens and guided the south wind by his mighty power. He rained down meat as thick as dust, birds as plentiful as the sand on the seashore. He caused the birds to fall within their camp and all around their tents. The people ate their fill. He gave them what they craved. But before they satisfied their craving, while the meat was yet in their mouths, the anger of God rose against them, and he killed their strongest men. He struck down the finest of Israel's young men. But in spite of this, the people kept sinning. Despite his wonders, they refused to trust him. So he ended their lives in failure, their years in terror. When God began killing them, they finally sought him. They repented and took God seriously. Then they remembered that God was their rock, that God Most High, that God Most High was their Redeemer. But all they gave him was lip service. They lied to him with their tongue. Their hearts were not loyal to him. They did not keep his covenant. Yet he was merciful and forgave their sin and did not destroy them all. Many times he held back his anger and did not unleash his fury, for he remembered that they were merely mortal, gone like a breath of wind that never returns. Oh, how often they rebelled against him in the wilderness and grieved his heart in that dry wasteland. Again and again they tested God's patience and provoked the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his power and how he rescued them from their enemies. They did not remember his miraculous signs in Egypt, his wonders on the plain of Zoan, for he turned their rivers into blood. No one could drink from the streams. He sent vast swarms of flies to consume them and hordes of frogs to ruin them. He gave their crops to caterpillars. Their harvest was consumed by locusts. He destroyed their grapevines with hail and shattered their sycamore figs with sleet. He abandoned their cattle to the hail, their livestock to bolts of lightning. He loosed on them his fierce anger, all his fury, rage, and hostility. He dispatched against them a band of destroying angels. He turned his anger against them. He did not spare the Egyptians' lives, but ravaged them with the plague. He killed the oldest son in each Egyptian family, the flower of youth throughout the land of Egypt. But he led his own people like a flock of sheep, guiding them safely through the wilderness. He kept them safe so they were not afraid, but the sea covered their enemies. He brought them to the border of his holy land, to this land of hills he had won for them. He drove out the nations before them. He gave them their inheritance by lot. He settled the tribes of Israel into their home. But they kept testing and rebelling against God Most High. They did not obey his laws. They turned back and were as faithless as their parents. They were as undependable as a crooked bow. They angered God by building shrines to other gods. They made him jealous with their idols. When God heard them, he was very angry, and he completely rejected Israel. Then he abandoned his dwelling at Shiloh, the tabernacle where he had lived among the people. He allowed the ark of his might to be captured. He surrendered his glory into enemy hands. He gave his people over to be butchered by the sword. Because he was so angry with his own people, his special possession, their young men were killed by fire. Their young women died before singing their wedding songs. Their priests were slaughtered, and their widows could not mourn their deaths. The Lord rose up as though walking from sleep, like a warrior aroused from a drunken stupor. He routed his enemies and sent them to eternal shame, but he rejected Joseph's descendants. He did not choose the tribe of Ephraim. He chose instead the tribe of Judah and Mount Zion, which he loved. Then he built his sanctuary as high as the heavens, as solid and enduring as the earth. He chose his servant David, calling him from the sheep pens. He took David from tending the ewes and lambs and made him the shepherd of Jacob's descendants, God's own people, Israel. He cared for them with a true heart and led them with skillful hands.
My Lord.
Amen.
So thank you, Dr. Nook. So having God for an enemy, complaining and murmuring and talking about what he can't do, and yet he shows you what he can do, couldn't do. But even after he does that, He is still grieved and angry with us. And there are some consequences for that. There are some consequences for that. Even a loving and merciful God, there are still some consequences for your unbelief and doubting that God can do what God said he's going to do, even in your wilderness journey. And we need to be mindful as his children of trusting and believing God for what he is going to do for us in our wilderness journey. Because it even goes back to show that he had mercy and he was merciful to them, and he brought David to the forefront of out of the journey, tending out of the wilderness, tending sheep, to be king of a special people. God is very, very sincere about us trusting and believing him for all things and not giving him lip service.
My Lord. My Lord.
Any comments on that before I read our last scripture for the night?
Good listen.
Well, we're all in agreement, I guess, then.
I think, Brother Eric, if I was murmuring, I'm shutting my mouth, I'm repenting, I'm getting on my knees, and I'm asking the Lord to forgive me for not trusting and to strengthen me where I'm weak. You know, that's one of the things we need to look at, Brother Eric.
Absolutely.
There's
we do.
Things throughout the text where people understand when the man went to ask the disciples to heal his son, and he asked Jesus, he says, well, if you can't, he says, what do you mean if I can't? He says, Lord, help me in
my unbelief.
See, we have to go to the Lord where we are, and the Lord will always meet us where we are. God is not a punitive God when we seek God first. I think it's all about our posture and how we approach the Lord, not as one who, you ain't going to do this for me, blah, 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 blah. But, Lord, help me. I want to believe. I believe part of this, but I have some areas of my humanity that's not submitted to you wholly. Help me in that area. Strengthen me so that I can be what you want me to be and can see what you want me to see. Therefore, walk where you want me to walk.
Excellent, excellent, excellent advice, Dr. Susie. Excellent advice. Because that's absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. And so with that, I want to read our final scripture for the night, which is going to be Mark 4, 3 through 11. Mark 4, 3 through 11. Then the devil came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, change these stones into loaves of bread. But Jesus told him, no. The scripture says people need more than bread for their lives. They must feed on every word of God. Then the devil took him to Jerusalem to the highest point on the temple and said, if you are the Son of God, jump off. For the scripture says, he orders his angels to protect you, and they will hold you with their hands to keep you from striking your foot against the stone. Jesus responded, the scriptures also say, do not test the Lord your God. Next, the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him the nations of the world and all their glory. I will give it all to you, he said, if you will only kneel down and worship me. Get out of here, Satan, Jesus told him. For the scriptures say, you must worship the Lord your God, serve only him. Then the devil went away, and the angels came and tarried for him. My hope in reading that to us is this, is that when we're in the wilderness journey and we're fighting with that unbelief, that we go to the Word, that we feed on every word that comes from God, that we have those conversations with God, as Dr. Susie said, to help me in my unbelief, to give me vision and let me understand you and let me hear you clearly where you're leading me and what it is that you want of me. Because from my perspective and my journey, and it's not complete by any stretch of the imagination, because we all fall short. We all have those moments of weakness and doubt, is that when I do and I go to the Lord in prayer and asking and reading the Word, I'm able to get through. And you got to go through to get through. But if you're not going with the Word of God, you're not going to get through. you're going to wander and wander. And there may not be a time limit of 40 years.
Amen.
Well,
Dr.
amen.
Susie,
praise the Lord.
I am very, 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 very grateful to lead this group this month through this topic. And I really appreciate each and every one of you. And so I'm going to turn it back over to you, Dr. Susie.
All righty then.
Amen.
We have one more week, Brother Eric.
Yes, and next week we're going to be looking at
what keeps you in the wilderness.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
My
so
Lord.
That we can know how to get out of these wilderness journeys that we're in and who has been keeping us and how they can lead us out of those.
Amen. So y'all don't want to miss it? Join us next week for that as well. But now we're going to have our prayer requests or praise reports. What God is
this
doing
is
in life.
Yeah,
and
absolutely. This is Eric. I've got a request is that, you know, God would uplift our family. As I said, we buried my aunt yesterday, who's more like a sister-in-law to me, and I'm going to be over here the rest of the week kind of looking after my uncle and helping him with some things, just because I know that it's been tough for him. You know, they were married for 36 years and very intertwined, and it's going to be a huge, huge hole. And so I'm asking that the Lord would strengthen my Uncle Butch and the rest of the family as we mourn the loss of our loved one.
This is James. I asked for prayer for my cousin. I just found out that he was attacked, and they hit him in the head with a brick, and he's in the hospital right now over in Dayton in serious condition. My cousin, David Green.
This is Sean. I just wanted to say, I wanted to quickly say, my praise report, as many of you know, I now have a job, and I just thank God for the job and the provision he's given me. And I want to thank each of you, those who had helped me financially during some challenging times. I just wanted to say thank you for your contribution, and I was able to, you know, give what you have given to me. And hope it will be a blessing.
We couldn't hear what you said, Sean.
Hello?
We couldn't hear what you said. You said something about you were giving something. The last we heard is you said something about you just wanted to say thank you for those who've given you some.
Yeah, I was
okay.
Just wanting to say thank you for that, and blessing those hopefully can bless others as you have blessed me.
Amen. 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 Anyone else have a prayer, a praise report, or a prayer request? This is Dr. Susie. I want to lift up a praise. I want to thank Brother Jefferson for leading us with this Bible study. It's been major. I am going through the wilderness and looking for employment, but just the ministry that God's leading me to. And so I want to be able to say that, you know, I'm trusting God for everything. And that's one thing this wilderness journey is teaching, is that no matter what it is, that we have to trust God every step of the way. And I repent even now in front of all you hundreds of people for whatever it is that I haven't trusted the Lord for. And I ask that God, you know, continue to manifest God's self in ways so that I can get what it is that God has for me for his understanding. So, at this point, I'm going to close the Bible study with prayer. God, we come before you, and we lift up Eric's uncle and ask for protection and love, and that your presence would surround him as well as We lift up David Green, and we just praise you for the job that Sean has received. We ask, oh God, that you would continue to be with us, to lead, God, and direct us in all the things that we do. We are trusting you for everything, oh God, and we know that you will never leave us nor forsake us. That in your Son Jesus' name we pray. Bless the people in the room.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.